Do you watch the NFL Hall of Fame stuff?
No, I went back and watched the, I guess the condensed version of the Hall of Fame game. I can't believe I missed that. That was so electric.
Good. It's so good.
Just you've seen Haynes King and the squirrel from Ice Age go at it together.
I got a Haynes King. My buddy Matt sent me the Haynes King highlight video, and I want to talk about Haynes King in this segment. Is Haynes King going to be an NFL quarterback long stay? Look, the fans love him. You get all the effort, all the energy out of him. He's going to play like every game, every snap's his last snap ever. I think that plays in the NFL. Does he have the arm talent to do it? I don't know. Can he make his living in the pocket? I don't know. But I'm pulling for Haynes King. The NFL needs Haynes King. And they need that kind of – whenever you watch Haynes King, and one of my dear friends is a Georgia Tech guy, and he talked about it all the time. He laid it on the line. Like, as a fan, that's all you could ask for, is that every step feels like this is the most important thing in the world to the guy. And I hope it plays out in the NFL. We'll see. Our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone line, 654-ROAR in the Sunshine State. Xander checks in. Hey, good Xander. Good morning, man. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. You on the way to school already?
I'm about to.
Good. Good. What grade this year?
Eighth.
Eighth grade, man. You're getting big. Good year for you, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's on your mind this morning, Xander?
I wanted to talk about our new quarterback, Tate.
Tate Reynolds?
Yeah.
I think you're going to like Tate Reynolds, Xander. I was at practice on Thursday, and he's put together, man. He's an athlete. He's got a strong arm. Now, the only thing, he doesn't have experience. And so we're going to see how he reacts under the gun, under pressure. But I think he's a competitor, and he's the toolsiest guy they have. So I think you're going to like another number two over there. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just saying, but if Christopher could definitely pull out longer than Tate can right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we need someone with experience.
Yeah, that's at a key position. Like. You make a good point. It's a key position for you where you got to have some experience. But if you have, you got to have talent too. So we'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun keeping up with this. And I do think this. I think it's a quarterback battle right now. I think both guys have a chance to play.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, any golf courses that I should try that are not the Walker course you're comfortable with?
Oh, we got a bunch of great ones up here. I love Boscobel. Boscobel just had their big tournament this weekend. Go and play Boscobel. But let me tell you something, Xander. When you do, don't get it above the hole, man. Well, those greens in the fall, they get firm and fast, and you got to keep the ball below the hole. But if you can play at Boscobel, you play anywhere in the world. So next time you guys come up, why don't y'all go over to Boscobel, and I think you'd love it over there.
All right, we will.
All right, well, how's your game?
It's doing good.
Good, man. Well, keep working at it. Let me know if you like basketball when you come up.
All right,
buddy. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun over there. Just don't get it above the hole. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Am I right on the Haynes King stuff? I think fans want, like, if you're a Panther fan, the epitome, man, of your – the reason that you're a fan, I mean, you're diehard. You put it all in there. You give your blood, sweat, tears, and money. And you want someone who knows, who you feel like feels the way you do about this thing. In a world full of me, it's just fun to watch a guy like this have that out for his teammates and for his team and just lay it on the line like that. So I'm pulling for him.
It was a fun game to watch, and I mean, you don't expect to see. I mean, you do expect to see close games because usually there's not a lot of competency first preseason game. But I mean, it was exciting, and just the back and forth between it.
Both those rookie quarterbacks look good.
Yeah.
And stats point: Kane's King, 31 of 24 for 180, two touchdowns, no picks. Also ran it three times for 39 yards, including a 26-yard run and a touchdown run there. Three touchdowns, no picks. And meanwhile, Carson Beck goes 15 of 19, 188. So, man, those guys might have a chance. And I tell you who you don't want to be. You don't want to be Kenny Pickett because Haynes King might come in and beat you out now. I saw some stuff about beating out Bryce Young. I don't think that. But Bryce Young's so fragile. Who had Haynes King maybe taking significant snaps in a Panther season?
Not I.
Second leading rusher. And he averaged 13 yards a carry and a touchdown through it all. Just lays it on the line. I think it's good. 6'5", 4" roar. I know someone who watched the NFL Hall of Fame ceremonies. Hal, on a Pratt Engineer Lawyer phone lines. Good morning, Hal. How you doing?
Pretty good. I think Travis and Kurt Etienne just changed pronunciation of their last name. It's now pronounced Itchin.
Yeah.
And all that,
Yeah, they did the Tony Dorsett and Dorsett thing. Remember Tony? You remember this, Hal? Yeah, Tony Dorsett was at Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden it became Dorsett.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that, and I want to worry about Chris Berman making fun of the two brothers mistaking some extraterrestrial for the two players. I mean, Travis referring to
E.T.
one of them.
E.T. That's right, Hal. That's right. Hey, I got one other one for you. You remember this one. You remember when Joe Theismann changed his name forever at Notre Dame. He was Joe Theismann. And then Theismann rhymes with Heisman. Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. And talk about the Chris Berman not being likable. I tell you another sports announcer who was not likable, except in his case, he didn't have to be, and that was Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell. Yeah. I liked him, though, but some guys didn't. Some guys didn't.
Howard Cosell, I think he and Don Merrick were Franklin and Billy Graham compared to Chris Berman.
Yeah, Berman's not the nicest guy. But I know you enjoyed it. I appreciate the phone call. I know you enjoyed the gold jacket ceremony through all that. Yeah, Berman is not likable. Hate to say it anyway, but you hear that a lot of times that Chris Berman's not who he came across on TV as. I've heard the same thing about Tirico too. That's not good. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Do you see where Philpott got his new assignment this year? He's got a new announcing team with him?
No.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah, we'll get him on back and talk about his excitement level, where he's going to be and what time slot and how all that works out. I've got, man, millions. It seems like millions of texts. You know, our color-coded situation with our text line of what we read and hadn't read, I look down at now, man, and it's flooded. You could tell we're getting close to football season. One person made a really good point about play calls and the – if I can find it on here. Said that Brad Scott told him one time that they only had 5 or 6 run calls. And the reason that's the case is because you got to block it against every front, and that's right. So normally, even though you might be 50-50, that you take fewer run calls into a game. And the reason you do that is because you've got to block it against all the fronts and all the stems and all the pressures and all that. So that's a very, very good point. Leonard made that point. He said they'd take 5 to 6 run plays every game, but they could run out every formation. And the focus on the formation, on execution of the plays, rather than a lot of plays at the low level. So the point there was, it's not, I mean, you could take 10 run plays in, but if you take 10 run plays in rather than 5 running plays into a game, then you're not blocking it in practice against all the stuff you're going to see. So the point is, you are repped and you're prepped for 5 run plays against, in all kinds of formations, but up front, how to block it against odd and even fronts and eagle fronts and all that. So that's why you simplify it in the run game to make sure you know how to block it. If not, and every fan out there would say, man, we need more imagination in our offense. Well, yeah, you do that, but the more you take into a game, the less you've repped it, the less prepared you are, and it just you gotta have your guys ready for all that. So you simplify on the run game part of it. But to the point that Leonard said, he made a very good point. you're running out of all of those formations, and it looks like it's different. All the motions, all the formations that you run, but you're still running a pretty simple five or six run concept through all that.
Your base package.
Yes, yes. I've got some Haynes King. We've hit on some nerves with some Haynes King stuff with people, and I think he's going to be one of these lightning rod guys right now. I put it this way. I can't wait for the Panthers to play again, and can't wait to see if maybe the Carolina Panthers, who did win, I don't know, who cares about what the winning or losing through all that, but this Saturday night at Buffalo, or Saturday afternoon at Buffalo, 1 o'clock, we'll see if Haynes King gets back in and what he does in his second opportunity.
We probably won't, though, because I believe he suffered a hamstring injury. They're keeping him on roster, but I can't remember who they signed to put in his place. Yeah, so he probably won't play until their third preseason game.
Well, I hope they don't cut him as a result of all that.
I would be shocked if
I don't know, because you can't keep three or four quarterbacks. I mean, keep three. You can't keep four quarterbacks, and also now you got to get other guys ready to play and all. Put him on IR maybe and see if we can get him healthy. Be interesting to see. And I don't think it's going to be a short-term solution. We'll have to see. One other quick one. Texture says, how tall is Tate Reynolds? I'd say enough. I'd say that he's enough. Yeah, Kyle Trask signed by the Panthers. Let me go ahead and just lay this out there for you. I don't know if Haynes King's going to be an NFL quarterback that has any success. I do know Kyle Trask won't be one. Kyle Trask is a guy that just gets you through a practice or an exhibition game. If you got to have Kyle Trask taking significant snaps in your season, ain't good. So what I don't know about Haynes King, I do know about Kyle Trask. You don't want that. All right, short break. We'll come back. Keep the phone lines going. Keep the text lines going. Reaction Monday inside of 3 weeks to a game week. Much more when you come back right after this. Adams and Coverview text line 654-ROAR. That's 654-7627. A lot of going back and seeing some of the early texts earlier in the show. A lot of people saying it wasn't a balk. I would agree with that. Chris Sale would agree with that. You know, he felt and umpires and referees, they go back and look at things. I'm sure the umpire kind of, you know, thought that maybe he had a little edge on his shoulder. I mean, a chill chip on his shoulder, edginess to him. I'm not sure you should have thrown Chris Sale out. He wasn't going to play the next day anyway, but not sure you throw Chris Sale out before the game starts. Like, that's a little bit of rabbit ears. Like, just let it go. Honest to goodness, I umpired for about 3 years. And now I'm talking about 12 to 15-year-olds is what I would umpire. And I never had a single confrontation with a single coach, manager, or fan. I see videos all the time of umpires throwing fans out, walking off the field because fans are on them, a coach does this, and people fighting and all that. I never, ever, ever had that. And I miss calls all the time. And I think the way you go into it is you just don't have any – you don't have a confrontational, adversarial relationship. You're there to help. Now, again, that's different for a 12-year-old compared to a Major League Baseball player. But you're there to kind of help them and help them through the game and get along and move the game along. We had umpires this past spring. I thought the umpires, I told them all the time, they did a great job of moving the game in between innings. Get the guys on and off the field, man. Let's go. You know, baseball slows. Let's go. But I never had a single incident. Many times I go to the guys and go, hey, man, I missed that one, by the way. But, you know, it's a respect kind of a thing. But if you don't go in looking for a fight, you're not going to get in a fight. And it wasn't going to be any kind of – and if a guy wanted to yell at me, and I don't remember anybody yelling at me, but you say, okay, that's fine. A fan wants to disagree with a call or whatever, that's fine. Just don't go into it with rabbit ears and listening and hearing and trying to make a big deal out of it. I don't think he should have been thrown out.
Yeah, a lot of umpires these days come in with a defensive mindset, like they are under attack, which, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people get chirped at. But if you come in passive and as a person, and I think things work out a lot easier in a lot of facets of life.
Yeah, yeah. Benji said his Little League coach for the major age group, just ask a question. If you're if you have one, don't be the jerk for both parties. Yeah, you know, parents take it too far sometimes, but just don't listen to it. Who cares? If you don't look for a fight, there's not a fight out there. All right, Stevie from Simpsonville said, have they finished the tournament yet? Slow play. I need to see what time they started, what time they finished yesterday, because it wasn't good. Way too slow. Also brings the point about Buffalo's new stadium. You've seen all the sightline issues in Buffalo's new stadium? $2.1 billion, you got bad sightlines. Like, first of all, they try to do too much. Just make it simple. It's a stadium.
Yeah.
That wasn't good.
Any stadium that is built, from today moving on, that has a single seat where you cannot see the entire field of play.
Yeah.
You need to take that seat
100%.
Out. It does not need to have a seat.
100%. 2463 said, what irritates the crap out of me is umpires can't win if they eject players. Then they got a chip on their shoulders when actually they're doing their job. If they let the stuff go at the game gets out of hand, they've got to do a better job of keeping players in control. Here's how you handle it. I don't think I could call balls and strikes anymore. Because of the, I don't know, 98-mile-an-hour cutter, man, that's just tough. But I think I could handle the game part of it. And it is, if a manager or player has a beef, then let them have their say. And at a certain point in time, if it's holding up the game, whatever, all right, that's enough. I heard you. I'm not going to change the call. You can argue, but okay. I mean, it takes two to tango. And I think you have to let them have their say. And then after a while, go, okay, I heard you. That's enough. But I'm not gonna get chest bump up on you. First of all, I don't want to smell your breath. I'm not gonna go chest to chest with you. But we're not gonna have, if I'm umpiring a game, we're not gonna have any kind. It's not gonna be a confrontation. You can disagree with the call, and I'll hear your disagreement, and then we'll just move on. We're not gonna sit there and yell and scream at each other. And we will for a certain amount of time. They will say, okay, what are you going to do, change my mind? Anyway, here's a very interesting question. This is from the 706 area code. That's in Georgia, I believe. Mickey, is any chance besides injury that Tate starts against LSU? Any chance he beats out CV? First, when did Christopher seem to get to be CV now? Like, we have to do that? Do I have to call him CV or can I call him Vecina?
I think people just have trouble pronouncing it or get it wrong to where it's just like DJU.
Okay.
You know? He didn't earn. Well,
I just call him DJ. But like I can say Chris or Christopher. Fine with that. Do I have to call him 17? I don't like calling people by their numbers either. Let's go 17. No. CV. No, it's just Vecina for me. I'm fine with that. Let me answer that question in two parts. And this is going to be contradictory answers. There is a quarterback competition at Clemson right now. And there is – Reynolds has done enough. Now, I understand both of them look really good on Friday or Saturday. But both of them look really good. And after a rough first day, I understand both of them got much better in day two. But – the point is, I think there's a very good, very healthy competition going on right now at quarterback. And I think this competition is going to continue into October, into November. But to the Texas point, or Texas question, as close as the quarterback race is right now, I don't think that you'll see, I don't think outside of injury there's any chance that Reynolds beats out and starts snap game one down in Baton Rouge. Now, I think he could play in Baton Rouge. I don't think he'll play a lot in Baton Rouge. I think in this situation, you have to go with a guy that has experience. Not a lot of experience, by the way, but I think you need, I mean, in that environment, Saturday night, Baton Rouge, you go throw a true freshman out there? I don't see it happening. But against Georgia Southern, against North Carolina, going to Cal. I don't know about Miami or not, but especially now, especially Charleston Southern, Virginia Tech, at Florida State, at Syracuse, Georgia Tech, at Duke, South Carolina. Yeah, yeah. I think you're going to see a healthy quarterback competition the entire year this year. And for those that say, there's no way to have a – no, not in game one. Not in game one. But the more I watch it, and I watched a bunch of it. Well, as much as they let, it's not a bunch of it. 30 minutes or whatever. But every single rep of every single that's all I did when I went out to practice. I think there's a competition. And there's people inside that building who think there's a competition right now.
And that's what you want.
Yes.
At every position.
Yeah, you want both to make each other better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Texter 1346. Why did Dabo play CV at the end of the year when the season was over to get him some experience for this year? If he wasn't going to stick with him, I think why didn't he play? I think the text is messed up. Why didn't he play? Because the end of last year has nothing to do with it, with the beginning of this year or the middle of this year or the end of this year. The reason that Vecina has prepared for games and started a game and he's been through the, you know, been through a season, so he knows that. But that has nothing to do on where they are now. I even go back to, you know, like on the Deshaun Watson and Cole Stout thing. It was clear that Deshaun Watson was better than Cole Stout. But everybody that wanted him to start that very first game of the true freshman season down in Georgia, and he came in and did great. But remember, Deshaun was hurt in the spring. Deshaun didn't play a lot that spring. And you weren't going to go into Athens, Georgia, and start a true freshman quarterback. Ryan Day wouldn't, and Kirby Smart wouldn't, and Nick Saban wouldn't, and Dabo Swinney wouldn't. That's just not going to happen. It was obvious at some point in time. And by the way, Cole Stout played pretty good in Athens, first half. It was going to be clear. At some point in time, Deshaun was going to take over. And it happened to be in Tallahassee. And his first start was against North Carolina. But because you're the better of the two options, and I'll even go farther. I mean, you go back to the Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence. Everybody said, well, Trevor needs to be the starter. Well, Kelly Bryant outplayed Trevor Lawrence in College Station, Texas. Kelly Bryant won that football game. That was different because he was our starter the year before. But it was obvious, Georgia Tech on, that Trevor Lawrence was the best player. And at some point in time, he's going to take over. At some point in time. It happened to be after the Georgia Tech game, it happened. But the point there is that just because you're the better quarterback in November or the better quarterback in October does not mean you're the better quarterback in September. And what Dabo Swinney wants to do is, same that Shane Beamer wants to do, same that everybody else, you want to give your best chance that week to win the football game. So that's why that's happening there.
And what a lot of people forget is that both things can be true. Vezina could have not been ready. He could have been not the best option at the end of last year, and he could be ready now, and he could be the best option this year.
This is an interesting text from QCT. Glad to have you back, QCT. He said the whole experience things are relevant when it relates to CV. He doesn't have any real relevant experience that will help him in that environment. He never played in any real hostile environment. I want the most talented kid to play. That's Tate. He's the only chance he had to be a respectable season. But let me say this. And I've talked to Major League Baseball people about this before. Like, it's obvious that Chipper Jones was going to be a great player. And there are people in the organization saying, man, we need to get Chipper up, call him up. He's a double A and then he's a triple A. You got to get him in there, call him up. And you got to put him, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be our four-hole hitter, three-hole hitter. He's going to be like, yeah. But one thing you can't do is you can't start him before he's ready in that. You do run the risk with some players. You do run the risk of ruining their confidence.
You see it in the NFL all the time.
All the time. You know who did it? Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was an absolutely terrible player the first time he got called up. Sent back down, caught him up again, became a Hall of Famer. He wasn't ready. Now, they were lucky that he eventually got ready. But if you do it too soon, you do run the risk of that shell shock at quarterback and seeing ghosts at quarterback, and you go, really, that can happen at the college level? Well, ask DJ. Ask DJ Georgia in Charlotte. You put a guy in there who's not ready. You put a guy in there, yeah, he's going to be the better player. He's the more talented player. He's the higher ceiling guy, 100%. But right now, is that what you want? And do you run that risk of that shell shock? Oh, my gosh. Throw a couple pick sixes and throw three picks down in Baton Rouge and see what your confidence is like the next weekend. So you got to be careful. And that's where, you know. But again, to be clear, I think there's a competition. And I think you're going to see, the more I watch it, the more I say you will see more of Tate Reynolds this year than I would have ever thought. And I think that means more. I'm looking at 27, man. I think your goal this year is to come out and feel good about 27. Because 26 is, Miami's is light years better than you. You're not going to win the ACC this year. And you're not going to win a national championship this year. 27 with that offensive line? If you get some wide receivers in the portal, 27 offense could be pretty doggone good. So let's don't ruin it because we got to play the most talented guy right now. Hope that makes sense, QCT. All right, short break. We'll come back. Craig and Anderson, Arthur in Knoxville, Tennessee. You guys hang on. I promise I'm coming straight to you. Much more on the other side. I have three that we need to get to in this segment. Been holding very patiently. Craig's in Anderson. Good morning, Craig. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
I'm good, Mickey. How are you?
Blessed, man. Thanks for hanging.
Hey, man. So, quick thing on the quarterback battle. So, I think maybe you thought of this too, but I feel like we're all kind of missing the point of how big this battle is. You look at Clemson. Clemson has a new president. Dabo in the world of the national media light in Clemson football is on a downward trend. If Dabo gets this wrong and Clemson goes really south this year and the team doesn't go south, we're not talking about 27 football if this offense is good. We're talking about a new coach because I think, personally, Dabo doesn't have to me, Dabo has all the equity in the world. But he don't have that equity with Ayers. And with Ayers coming from Georgia and how Georgia was in just about every sport right now, with baseball up, their women's basketball is good, their softball is good, football is a perennial top three team. What Clemson is now, the campus way it is now, was built from 13 to 19 or 20, 21. All that money influxed in from football and the numbers from applications were up. They're not as high as what they once was because football's not as good. I mean, if this goes wrong, this is the biggest quarterback, and it doesn't need to go forever. It needs to be decided well before LSU. So, Vezina, if he's going to be the dude, he has to take control. Because Dabo's not going to give it to Tate because he's got this love affair with loyalty, and I get it. But Vezina needs to be a dude like ASAP, because if this goes running out and things go south with you got going on the road to LSU, you got Miami, and you start 2-3 or 3-2 and something goes wrong and this ends up at a 7-6, 6-6 season because everything went wrong, we're getting a new head coach in 27, and that's not a question.
Let me ask you this. I've talked about this ad nauseum, but I think that there's a difference, and I think the safety net is Reynolds. At one point in time, I didn't think he had a safety net. But as long as Reynolds stays healthy and plays and looks good, let's say that you start out 2-3, and let's say you lose at Cal, at LSU, and in Miami, and it's a disaster. Then you have an open date. and Vecina looks okay but not great. And then you put in Reynolds for Charleston Southern, and it goes well. And the rest of the season, the schedule's easier, obviously. But Virginia Tech and at Florida State and Syracuse and Georgia Tech and at Duke and South Carolina. Let's say in that seven-game stretch, you go 6-1. Let's go 5-2. And so now you're 7-5 again. But that feel different because Reynolds came on and went 5-2 down the stretch, and he's.
Don't you have the question as why wasn't he there before?
No, because the point I just made is because you're the better quarterback in October does not mean you're the better quarterback in September.
I mean that's fair because you've had more time.
Kelly Bryant was that example, and Trevor Lawrence that was not the better quarterback in College Station, Texas. He was not. In San Francisco on the Bay, Trevor Lawrence led you to a national championship against Alabama, but he was not ready for majority of snaps in College Station. So I just think that the safety net now is the schedule gets easier in the back half, and if you can put together some momentum, at 7-5 is not the number. The number is 5-2, and you have a whole different outlook with Dabo Swinney going into 27.
But here's a little caveat to it, though.
Okay.
College Station in, 17, 18, whatever it was.
18.
Is not LSU with Lane Kiffin in 2026.
No, but Clemson's not going to win. Clemson's not 18 right now either. Clemson, the 2018 right, team, this team's not even close to that
off,
right now.
But you're also not coming off of 2 to 3 prior top two finishes.
Yeah.
And you've come off of 2 kind of mediocre seasons. I mean, yes, we went to the playoffs by the skin of our daggum teeth by a 56-yard field goal going in. If that doesn't happen,
I'll tell you like
coming
this.
Coming off these 2 mediocre seasons, and the program's already not looking in the – is already kind of looking down, especially from where it was last year. Do you not have the kind of fallback? If we go on to LSU and get our doors blown off with Vezina, which I don't know if it's Reynolds, but to me, Vezina doesn't fit the Chad system. He doesn't. He's got a wet noodle arm. He doesn't get the ball out fast. He's got a long release. Everything that Chad wants to do is click fast, hurry, go, get into the playmaker's hands. And Vezina has got a wet noodle. He doesn't get it there as big of an arm as Reynolds does, and where he can go from multiple positions, throw from multiple angles, get it. He's more athletic. Like it doesn't work. I'm saying if they're on a level playing field, Vezina has started one game against the worst passing defense.
I'm with you.
In all of college football. Right?
I'm with you. Let me say this, though. And I go back to one play. You know, Dabo's got the mic out there in the spring game. Right? And it's obvious. I mean, if you watch the pregame warm-up, you watch the ball. But, yeah, Tate's more talented. There's a play in the spring game. They're driving in towards the west end zone. They're in about the 10-yard line. And there's the tight end is split out. You got two receivers and a tight end split to the left. And Reynolds does not motion the tight end back into the play. And he's out there, and there's an edge rusher coming from the left-hand side, and he sacks Reynolds. And what if it's a pick six, scoop, and score? The point is, you can be as talented as you want to, but if you don't know and you don't remember, and in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, if you don't motion the tight end back into the play, then if you do, then he picks it up, and maybe you might throw it in a pass, kick a field goal. If not, it might be a scoop and score the other way. My point is, it's not just all about arm talent. It's about getting in the right play, making the read, and processing and getting it all out of there. It might not look great. It didn't look great for Danny Werfel. Danny Werfel had a noodle arm and won a Heisman Trophy.
I can't put the spring on Tate, though, off that one play. I mean,
but the point is that did happen, and we do know that. And on that note, that can happen. It's a better chance of it happening with a true freshman for the first time than it is for a guy who's been in the program for 3 years.
He's been in the program for 3 years, but never – played it, never started the game on the road, especially in LSU.
I'm with you. Anybody, I'm with
you. That don't make sense, Mickey.
Well, but here's the thing, too, Greg. Let's let the guys that are at practice every single rep. I watched it for 30 minutes. I didn't watch it for 3 days so far. And I don't think I saw you out there. So, I mean, let's go with what the guys that go for it and see it. And they want to play the best player. They're not going to try to play the worst player. So let's
but
just.
But what I'm saying is if it's close, like neck and neck, do you not take the more talented guy, even if he might make a mistake? Do you not go with the more talented guy in the situation?
It's
neck and neck.
Yeah, unless the mistake gets you beat. You remember the Super Bowl
talent gets you beat by 35?
Maybe. But what if it's close enough to where it's not just the talent's not the only thing? You remember the Super Bowl where the Falcons blew it and the Patriots came back?
Remember the Patriots also had Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, hold on, let me finish. There was a play in there where the running back didn't do the misses protection, scoop and score, turn the game around. And say, man, everybody always says, I want the most talented running back, the guy who carries it back. I don't care about pass protection until you do. Like, it's the whole thing about the air traffic controller. Like, until it goes bad, disastrous. And I guarantee you this, Craig, if you started Tate Reynolds in Baton Rouge and it went bad, then the very first phone call on Monday morning would be Tuesday because it's Labor Day. He's inexperienced. What are we doing playing a freshman down there in that kind of environment?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying where I'm at is this is the most critical between the era as point blank period. Because he had the equity with Clements. He doesn't have the equity at Ayers. If everything goes south, the way Clemson football is trending, it could go south.
I'm going to leave you with this. I think, and this sounds crazy and dumb, I think November is much more important to that conversation than September the 5th. I think how you look in November and the hope that I want to have in 27 is going to come not in Baton Rouge. It's going to come how do you do in the second half once he gets a little more experience and what's 27 look. That's the way I feel. Anyway, good stuff, man.
I mean, even if you look good in September or November and you're 6-6.
It's different. That's where we disagree. 6-6 is different if you look good in November compared to if you look dismal in November. It's because you got
this
hope.
Look different in 27 when the whole team's in the portal.
You don't know that. Nobody knows.
The 27 quarterback is going to dip out because he ain't going to think the dad was going to be there. I mean, it's going to happen. The way these portals are, it's going to happen, especially the downtrend Clemson's on.
We'll see.
So we got to get on the uptrend this year. It has to happen.
We'll see. All right, man. I just think that November, the scenario I keep putting out there is if you go 2-3 and all the season's lost, and then what happens if you put the freshman in and he goes 6-1? Now all of a sudden, man, you feel totally different, and you're lying to yourself if you don't. Steve Tannehill, that's what that happened. South Carolina's 0-4, 0-5, whatever it is. You put the freshman quarterback in and he goes crazy, and he won like 6 of your last 7. You feel differently about it. I'm telling you, you have a completely different feel in the second half of the season. Under that scenario. But, I mean, look, there's a scenario where you play good in Baton Rouge. You play good against Miami. You play good at Cal. But well, I don't know those things. I thought last year we knew those things because we had all this experience everywhere and all this talent everywhere, and we didn't. So I can't sit here and tell you have to play the kid now because of this. I don't know. No one knows.
I want to go back. One of the first things that Craig said was that the president's going to have pressure because applications have dropped. That is very false.
Yeah, that's not true.
2020, 28,000. Then we have 47,000, 52,000, 60,000, 61. Applications have never been higher for Clemson.
Right. I knew that wasn't the case. All right. Let's take a break. Arthur in Knoxville, Rayburn, Larry, you guys, hang on. I'd love to hear from you. When we come back, we can talk more about that. The text lines have just lit up. So we'll get to all that coming up. Our Adams Grove text line, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Austin gets in. Give me talent over experience every time. Yeah, I agree with that. Brent Venables. I'd rather have talent than experience. And I told you before, my good friend David Parker always says, if a dog bites you, he'll bite you as a puppy. But, I mean, let's just see. I'm not going to condemn anoint anyone after 3 days. Let's let the thing play out and let's see. I think that'd be the prudent thing to do. Love to hear from you. Phone lines and text lines. Come back. Reaction Monday, hour number 3 when you return right after this.